This is Magneto Mel coming here with you in the morning, and we've got our Push to Talk ATC hour, and I'm sitting here with Bob Knowles.
Morning.
How you doing?
So far, so good.
National Air Traffic Controllers Association, and we're also joined by Lutz Klutschoff, the Trade Union Air Navigation Services in Germany, and we're going to just have a little chat about, I guess, some of the differences between our system and the European system, to the best of your knowledge.
Okay. Well, to get it started, there's a big difference because Lutz works in a center over there, and I work in an up-down facility tower in a TRACON.
So. Okay, well, that's a big difference here.
Yeah, it is.
So,
it certainly is.
Do you want to, for people who, I'm sure, you know, a lot of people that fly regularly should know the differences, but we've got some people here that may or may not be that in-depth. What is the difference between a tower and a TRACON and a center in terms
okay.
of...
Start off with the tower, which pretty much everybody here, I imagine, are familiar with. They can see both of the new tower and the old tower here. They control the aircraft, usually within about 5 miles of the airport, and anywhere up to about 25 to 5,000 feet. They control the ground movement upon the airport and ground vehicles. In facilities, like I'm from Evansville, Indiana, we have an up-down facility. So we also have the approach control downstairs, which we reach out to about 55 miles in all directions from the airport up to 10,000 feet. We control the sequencing and all into the main airport there at Evansville, plus all the satellite airports that we have, and ensure separation. We have Class C services down in Evansville. Your large airports like Chicago and places like that will be Class B. Above us are the center controllers. They work all the en route traffic up to from 10,000 up to as high as the aircraft can go. And I have never worked in a center. I never had the desire to work in a center. It looked like a factory. I like working in the tower and in TRACON. I get to play the video games, but I also get to look at the airplane. So I'm pretty happy where I'm at.
Okay. There's been a lot of renovations of centers and TRACONs lately.
I'd like to see that.
Past 10 years.
We just got rid of the dial phones several years ago. Well, we're kind of a low priority, I guess, so we're taking what we can get.
Okay.
But like our radar scopes, I've been using them my entire career, and I just got my 30-year note the other day, so kind of gives you an idea that what we're using there.
And what about in Europe? How's the organization
well,
there?
Well, we pretty much have the same tower setup. We have... It's really pretty much the same. Every time I come visit here, the first thing I notice is it takes all of about 2 minutes before the first person says, hey, that's the same as here. So we have tower setups, we have TRACON setups, we've got the centers. The big difference is we are very small. I mean, Germany is not a big country by American standards. I think size of Montana, maybe.
Excuse me.
We have to deal with other Europeans, which is something that a lot of Americans probably, I have a lot of the controllers here don't understand that, is I deal with Belgians, I've got on the one border, I've got the French, I've got the Swiss, we've got the Czechs, we've got the Austrians, the Danish guys, and Poland, and different countries, different systems. Europe's really not, it's not like America where everybody has the same system, there's one big airspace and one organization manages it. Everybody does their own thing. The French manage their airspace. We do ours. So we actually have a border, and the physical border is the airspace border. So we have inefficiencies. We've been talking about doing single European airspace where we want to try and get it the way you have it here so that there are more efficiencies. But there's a lot of ego. It's about whose
system is going to be the dominant model.
Yeah, it's about buying stuff. A lot of the countries, they'll buy their own production, they won't buy outside. We've just bought a new, well, we haven't, I say just in air traffic control just means about 15 years ago, we just bought a new system. And we got it from Raytheon. So that was fairly unusual. The French guys will normally try and get the stuff from French companies, so will the Italians, will buy from Italian companies.
So the interface between all the equipment is probably...
Yeah, when I started out about 20 years ago, everything was done by phone. Anytime you wanted anything, you had to phone somebody up. Now we're getting to the point when we buy a new system, you kind of check for compatibilities and you make sure that our system will at least work with the systems of those people sitting around us. And it's not so much a case of that the system needs to work because it needs to work. It's a case of money moving it. The airlines are saying we need efficiencies, and to get those efficiencies, we'll come and say, well, we can get you more traffic, but we need to have an interface. If I got to be on the phone for every single airplane that crosses the border, it just wastes time.
Right.
So we've had a huge improvement in the last 10 years where the systems at least have a minimum compatibility requirement, and you'll find that the systems talk to each other. So a lot of our stuff gets moved without having to actually dial up somebody and do talk coordination, because that's what wastes time.
So you do have the automated handoffs like between...
We don't have the radar handoffs the way they do here, where you'd have one center handing off to another center. So you could, for instance, be working traffic in Washington Center, and you would be able to do a radar handoff with another center, say, I don't know, Atlanta maybe, or yeah. Miami. We don't have that in Germany. We don't even have that between the units, so I can't do it with, say, I work in Frankfurt, which is in the middle. The adjacent unit to me is Dusseldorf. I can't even do it between myself and Dusseldorf, really.
Well, now, of course, we hear we've got, what, 20 centers?
Yeah.
And you mentioned the size difference. So is there one German center, one sort of...
We have five, actually, and we're down to consolidation. The German air traffic control was privatized in the early 90s. And when I say privatized, the company is run on a private basis, which means we make profit and loss. And we have user fees, which were so popular around here last year. So the airlines actually pay to use the airspace. And what happens is that money gets plowed into air traffic control. And at the end of the year, the company will tally up. And if we've made a profit, the money will get given back to the airlines, the excess. And the next year, they'll lower the route fees.
Now, I'm sorry, go ahead.
And so because it's a private company, we now run, it's not the government anymore, we're not civil servants. So the centers that we used to have five, and we're now down to four, and we're busy consolidating, and they're looking at getting more of the centers. When I started, we would have a center at Frankfurt, we had one at Dusseldorf, there was one in Bremen, there was one in Munich, and one in Berlin, and an upper airspace for South Germany and Maastricht, which does Northern Germany. We've now subsequently moved Berlin to Bremen, so that's only one. We've moved Dusseldorf to Frankfurt, so that's only one. So at this point, we've got Frankfurt, Bremen, Munich, and Karlsruhe. So there is consolidation going on. There's still too many. We keep getting told Europe, I think, has 63 or 64 centers compared to America
that we have.
Right,
yeah.
And the size differences.
Size, I mean, it's smaller.
Mm-hmm.
But again, you got to remember that everything... I was saying to Bob yesterday, we have flights going out of Frankfurt where the flying time is 12 minutes. If you fly Frankfurt to Stuttgart, which is two big cities, 12-minute flying time. Frankfurt-Düsseldorf, 14 minutes flying time.
Yeah.
So it's big cities that are really close. You can fly Frankfurt-Brussels in 30 minutes and you're in another country.
Right.
Frankfurt-Zurich is 35 minutes, another country. You know, so everything is really tight. And that needs to change. And it is, we hope it's changing. They keep talking about it.
Well, now, you mentioned it was privatized in the early 90s. So before that, it was a system...
It was the same as here.
Funded, same as here?
Yeah, we were it was called the Bundesanstalt für Flugsicherung, which is pretty much like the FAA. We were a government agency, and we were run as civil service.
And what sort of changes did you see in flying behavior when... Because, as you mentioned, the user fees was a huge topic here, but also... is it comparable? Because does Europe have anywhere near the same GA traffic?
No, we don't.
So when you talk about user fees, with you guys, you're talking a lot more about corporate airlines.
We're talking about airlines mainly. Even user fees in terms of GA, when you define GA in America and you're talking about corporate business, we've had an increase in the last years. When I started out, there was very little corporate traffic as such. But that also has to do with the size of the country. You know, a guy who wants to get from, say, Frankfurt to Stuttgart, you can take the high-speed train and you can be city center to city center faster, even though the flying time is only 12 minutes. But by the time you get out to the airport, you get checked in, you get through security, get on the plane, get out,
land,
and the whole thing backwards, and you're in the middle of the city, you'll have 2 hours, 2.5, 3 hours for a flight that might only last 15 minutes.
Right.
So what a lot of people have done, or what's been happening, is that we've got high-speed train connections. It's called the ICE. It's the Intercity Express. These trains will run more than 200 miles an hour on stretches, and people just take the train. It's just much easier. So corporate flying wasn't really a big deal. In the last years, however, we've seen corporate flying become a bigger factor. We've been able to access smaller airports, which when I started we didn't have access to. There was military airspace and we couldn't use airports. For instance, over Ramstein, where the US Air Force has a big presence, there are two big airports under that airspace that we weren't able to use. And since the military downsizing, we've been able to use that airspace, and that's also allowed us access to use the airports that are below there. We've got a big airport called Hahn, which used to be a fighter base for... actually, Chuck Yeager was the commanding officer there at one stage. That's been opened up, and now there's a what we call a low-cost carrier. It's Ryanair. They operate out of there. And it's become a huge hub. So we've been using smaller airports, and we found that corporations are now getting into buying the entry-size jets. So we have more of that going on at the moment. But GA still comprises of a tiny... I don't even know the percentages, but I'm going to shoot in the dark and say less than 10% is GA. We're really talking about airline traffic.
Wow, yeah, that's definitely a characteristic of the U.S. You're listening to EAA Radio.